our scripture reading schedule as you find it in the first reading there in your bulletin, continues our journey through the final book of the Pentateuch, the fifth book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. We have before us this week chapters 17 through chapter 23. We are continuing this journey as Moses is reviewing the covenant and that covenantal relationship of God's people with their God as they are in the plains of Moab preparing to enter the promised land. Moses delivers to the people the law for their life in the land, clarified and expanded to equip them for living as God's chosen people in his sacred land. Chapter 17 begins with the command for unblemished sacrifice. Sacrificial animals were to be without blemish or defect, and this pointed to the calling on the people to be unspotted by wickedness around them, unblemished by idolatry. They were identified as God's people, given up entirely to him, and as the sacrifice was to be unspotted, unblemished, pure, according to God's ceremonial principles, so the people were to present themselves as the pure and unspotted people of God. The chapter continues to address, going on to address apostasy, where someone is found to have committed the abomination of idolatry. Again, this was to be treated as a capital offense, and the general principle of evidence is put forward, the requirement of multiple witnesses. Further, provision is made for tiered levels of expertise and appeal when there was some question that needed greater skill and understanding in God's law. There was a way to appeal that to another level of judicial expertise. When something was too difficult to be decided locally, there would be recourse to greater expertise in the place that God would appoint. The chapter closes with laws related to establishing a king and laws restricting and guiding the king so that he would not become ensnared with those natural traps to his exercise of authority, and that he would be saturated with God's law and so rule in a godly manner. Those precepts are set down for the protection of God's people and for the guidance of one who would rule in Israel as a king. Chapter 18 provides details for supporting the priests and the Levites and warnings against pagan substitutes for God's appointed ministry. The chapter closes with the promise of a continuing prophetic office and the regulation of it. This also points to the promise of the final fulfillment of that prophetic office in Messiah. Chapter 19 gives further details on the use of cities of refuge. A law warning against moving property markers is followed by laws governing witnesses and how to deal with a false witness. So you can hear the echoes of the commandments as we're moving forward into a faithful witness in the ninth commandment and so on. These laws reveal principles of justice in pursuing a careful investigation and punishing a false witness with the penalty that would have come against the innocent party if the lie had succeeded. What we'll find repeatedly in God's dealing with applying his moral precepts to the unique situation and circumstances of his appointment for his people is a control of their exercise of justice. It would not have been uncommon for one to take vengeance on a false accuser in an extreme fashion. God sets the principles of justice and equity with a penalty that is commensurate with the crime. And so we see God moderating providing for the people principles of justice. Chapter 20 describes regulations, special regulations related to war and the treatment of captives. Some of these precepts will sound uncomfortable to our modern ears, but it is important to remember the purposes of these laws in the Lord's plan for bringing judgment on the wicked people in the promised land at that time. He's bringing an execution of justice and judgment by his hand through his people. So that's important to keep in mind. He is also, again, providing those means in an appropriately measured way for the people to live in that land and to deal with their calling under God's rule to bring that judgment against the land. These laws frequently prevented abuses that might have been common on the part of other nations in that day. So when you look at those things and they sound harsh in our modern ears, remember that God is actually providing a moderating principle compared to what might have been done by the nations round about. Now, that's also true of a portion of chapter 21 regarding female captives from the battles that Israel would rage against the wickedness of the land and so on. Chapter 21 begins with principles of justice regarding the investigation required when a body is found. Again, the sacredness of the land requires that if there is bloodshed, it must be accounted for. And so, a careful investigation would need to be made when it was not clear how this person died. If in fact the person was murdered, then an execution of justice must be brought against the murderer, and where that was not possible, an atonement must be made by the rulers to cover the blood as it had been shed in the promised land. Chapter 21 continues with inheritance laws and regulations for dealing with a rebellious son. And the chapter concludes by beginning a section of brief and detailed laws on a variety of subjects, continuing on through chapter 22. Chapter 22 concludes with with protections and prohibitions related to sexual morality. Chapter 23 then provides ritual cleanliness laws and another section of laws on a wide range of subjects. The portion I would like to read in your hearing this morning is chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy. And here, remember, as the Lord sets a contrast between the ministry that he provides for his people in the priests and the Levites, and remember that the regulations he gives here show how the tithes and offerings were to be used in part to sustain that ministry, but he sets it in contrast to the ways that pagans would seek to have access to ultimate truth, to the power of some divine being. They would use divination, witchcraft, looking at all sorts of means of trying to surmise the future. And God says these things are an abomination. He has set a ministry. He has set a means for access to him. And he has ordered it properly for what he made us to be. That appointed means of ministry, providing, ministering to God's people, the divine power and the knowledge of God is perfectly suited to what God made humans to be. All other wicked and abominable means of seeking to have access to the supernatural, God condemns them, and he warns the people away from being in any way influenced by them. So again, we can make a direct application. There's plenty of that still going on in our day, with horoscopes and with toying with trying to tell the future, looking at stars and the planets, looking at cards, and all these things are abominations. We shouldn't wink and play at these things. They are wicked. They ensnare the souls of men. And the Lord has set in very clear contrast sacred things that give us access to ultimate reality. And we poison those pure things when we handle the wicked abominations of the world. So let's have that in mind. Let's, with God, despise those things, avoid them entirely, not treat lightly the sacred things of God, the means that He's appointed for access to the divine. And then, as the chapter closes, keep in mind that prophetic office that's established by God. He promised that just as Moses was the mediating voice of God, He would continue to provide a mediating voice. And we see, as the people are established in the land, the office of the prophet continues and continues to mediate the message of God to the people of God in that unique office. There are warnings about false prophets, and remember to correlate that with what God revealed earlier. How will you know a true prophet and a true prophecy? The Lord makes clear from His earlier instruction and this instruction that it is not only in relation to their predictions coming true. That's one means, and He mentions that here. But earlier, He mentioned that when a prophet gives some instruction with a prediction, and that instruction is contrary to God's revealed will, what He's already presented to the people, that's a false prophet, even if what He predicted came true. So the people were never to be without the exercise of judgment. Even in receiving prophecy, they were to compare what they were hearing with what had already been revealed. And so now we have the fullness of the revelation, the prophetic word revealed, Christ having fulfilled the office of the prophet. We, in hearing the message, have a form of prophecy, not like that of old, but in the proclaiming of the truth of God. And again, we are never to receive it mindlessly. We are always to take up the prophetic word, hearing to see that it is consistent with what God has revealed. We are to be like the Bereans. We're to listen to the prophetic word and compare it with Scripture to see if what has been taught is in accord with what God has revealed. So, we have much to learn from here. Let's stand together, being mindful of these things. Let's hear and apply with an evangelical grace the truths revealed here in chapter 18 of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is the very word of Almighty God, holy, infallible, and inerrant in all its parts. Let us hear and heed. Chapter 18 of Deuteronomy. The priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and His portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as He said to them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those who offer a sacrifice, whether it is bull or sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain and your new wine and your oil, and the first of the fleece of your sheep you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. So if a Levite comes from any of your gates, from where he dwells among all Israel, and comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which the Lord chooses, then he may serve in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, who stand there before the Lord. They shall have equal portions to eat, besides what comes from the sale of his inheritance. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated.